Residents of Green Bay are remembering former resident Alex Preddy, the Veterans Administration nurse who was killed by immigration agents in Minnesota. It's Tuesday, January 27th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, Congressman Tom Tiffany, the leading Republican candidate for governor, told reporters he has not watched the widely circulated videos of Alex Preddy being shot and killed. And leaders of Wisconsin's largest school districts say state leaders are failing to adequately fund public education. Stay with us.
Wisconsin Life is getting to know your neighbors.
A lot of my relatives were river rats. Whole families made a living as I did.
I'm proud to be Mexican, Pueblo, Oneida, Two-Spirit, proud to be everything that I am.
We just want to, you know, be part of American dream.
Wisconsin Life, every Wednesday and Friday on WPR News and at wisconsinlife.org.
The Green Bay community is mourning the death of Alex Preddy, the nurse who was killed by federal agents in Minneapolis over the weekend. As news of Preddy's death spread, people stopped at his old high school to pay tribute. They left flowers, handwritten notes, a stethoscope, and a guitar. One person left a small trophy marked with the word hero. Preddy was born in Illinois but grew up in the Green Bay area. He graduated from Preble High School in 2006. In school, he played sports and sang in the choir. Two people who knew him then described him as someone who cared about others and never hesitated to lift a helping hand. Green Bay resident Travis Vandenhoevel was one of Preddy's childhood friends.
He was someone who, even at a young age, would ask, "How are you doing? Tell me what's happening." I mean, just the check-in questions that we kind of take for granted in our friendships later in life.
Local police say around 1,500 to 2,000 people attended an anti-ICE protest in Green Bay the day after Preddy's death. A leading Republican candidate for Wisconsin's governor is blaming Democratic leadership for deadly violence in Minneapolis over the weekend. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, Congressman Tom Tiffany says if elected, he'll work with federal agents.
Tiffany said he supports a full investigation into the shooting death of Alex Preddy at the hands of federal immigration officers over the weekend. And he blamed Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for immigration agents descending on Minneapolis.
This goes to what Governor Walz has done here, where he's refused to engage with the federal government.
Tiffany told reporters he has not watched the video of Preddy being shot. He said if the law allows it, people should be able to carry a concealed weapon as Preddy was, but he also said people should, quote, be sure to think about the ramifications. Tiffany's comments come as some Democratic candidates for governor have called for ICE to be disbanded. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin is adding its support to a lawsuit that calls for Immigration and Customs Enforcement to dial back its actions in Minnesota. The suit calls on a federal judge to constrain ICE's conduct in the state. That includes ordering ICE to stop arresting or using force against bystanders and peaceful protesters. President Donald Trump's administration has pushed back against the lawsuit, arguing that federal officials have been exercising their right to enforce immigration laws. But in an interview with WPR, Wisconsin's Democratic Attorney General Josh Kaul disputed that characterization.
This is not about law enforcement. This is about imposing terror on a community, and it's about trying to intimidate people.
Kaul signed on to a brief with other state attorneys general in support of Minnesota lawsuit. It was filed days after an ICE agent fatally shot Minneapolis resident Renee Good. Wisconsin's first case of measles in 2026 has been confirmed in Waukesha County. State health officials are working to notify others who may have been exposed to the virus. A statement from the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says a Waukesha County resident's measles case is related to international travel. The agency says no more personal or health information about the individual will be revealed. Symptoms of measles include high fever and a red rash with raised bumps spreading across the body. The virus can cause complications like pneumonia, deafness, and brain damage. Health officials are urging anyone who develops symptoms to stay home and call their doctor's office before visiting to protect other patients. Measles can be prevented with the MMR vaccine. Wisconsin's MMR vaccination rates for children rank among the lowest in the nation. There were 36 confirmed cases in the state last year. Wisconsin's five largest public school districts are asking the state legislature for more funding. Corrine Hess reports on a joint message from superintendents in Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Racine, and Kenosha.
In a rare joint letter, the superintendents say inflation has increased the cost to feed students, heat the schools, and cover employee health care costs. Governor Tony Evers told Wisconsin Today that the state's $4 billion budget surplus is enough to boost funding for public schools and ease property taxes. But Republican leaders say they aren't budging until Evers reverses a 400-year veto related to school funding. Green Bay Superintendent Vicki Byers says public schools can't wait.
I'm really waiting for the adults to come to the room and start talking seriously about how we're going to fund public ed in Wisconsin.
The cost of living adjustments for public schools were eliminated by the state legislature in 2009. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Targeted digital voter suppression advertisements from undisclosed organizations likely shaped turnout during the 2016 presidential election. As Steph Conquest-Ware reports, that's according to a new study led by University of Wisconsin-Madison researchers.
The ads targeted Black, Native American, and Latino residents of battleground states like Wisconsin. Those exposed were less likely to vote by nearly 2%, the study found. That's equal to almost 5 million votes in 2016. UW professor Young-Mi Kim co-authored the report. She says the presence of artificial intelligence and disinformation on social media makes the findings even more relevant.
The voter suppression tactic as a coalition breaking strategy has been out there for a long time. It was just difficult to surgically target these people until now.
The ads promoted third-party candidates, attacked same-party contenders, or encouraged users to boycott the election entirely. Steph Conquest-Ware, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, a dairy farm has started a unique side hustle to help bring in some extra income, cow cuddling. Stay with us.
Hello, it's Michelle Martin. At Morning Edition, we bring you the news of the day, but also conversations about art.
The piano was where I left all of my words and all of my stories and all of my pain.
Scientific findings.
In total, I think we looked at over 500 specimens. That's a lot of poop.
Stories that make you smile. Start your weekdays informed and inspired with Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, milk prices are now below many dairy farmers' break-even points after a steady price decline since January of last year. It's the latest symptom of a volatile milk economy that's pushed some farmers to open side businesses to stay afloat. Harvest Public Media's Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval reports.
Quincy Schmidt's family has owned their dairy farm in Corcoran, Minnesota, an hour outside of the Twin Cities, since 1958, when her grandpa first scouted the area.
He hopped in his pickup one day and he bought the farm with 20 cows and a horse, and we kind of have grown our farm from there.
When Schmidt was growing up, the family had about 50 cows. And the herd expanded over time.
As we became adults and were interested in the farm, we increased our herd. We're now milking 120 cows. And yeah, they're pretty friendly. They're a friendly bunch.
But for the past 5 years, dairy prices have been volatile. They're currently running a few dollars below many farmers' break-even points. Profit margins at Schmidt's family's farm started shrinking.
Dairy isn't always a consistent form of income. If other dairy farmers can relate, the prices are pretty low. They've been very low for a while. It's not always the same check you see coming in every. It's not a consistent check.
Thus, their side business, Curious Cows and Company, was born. For $25, visitors can spend 30 minutes snuggling calves, brushing their coats, or feeding them hay. I tried filming myself cuddling with cows, in fact, until one of them thought my hair was edible. In the business. Ah! But why have dairy prices been declining? One part of it is that there's a dairy glut that's outpacing demand. Christopher Wolf is an ag economist at Cornell University. He says people tend to consume a lot of these dairy products when they eat out.
They're more likely to, people eat more cheeses, more specialty cheese in particular, and things like that when they eat out.
But he says with inflation still relatively high, people are eating out less, and that cuts into dairy consumption.
So right now, inflation is still being kind of stubborn, and everything that's happening right now doesn't look like it's going to do much for curbing inflation. So when people go out less, it also has impacts.
Which is precisely why dairy businesses across the country have delved into agritourism and diversified their product lines to generate as much revenue as possible. This isn't a new idea to Jeff Swanson, a tour manager at Country Dairy in Michigan.
That's part of the reason why we put in our own bottling plant, because in the late 70s and early 80s, milk prices were really low and a lot of farmers were selling out.
Country Dairy not only bottles its own milk, but also operates its own ice cream line, offers tours, and even has a small restaurant on its farm. Swanson says the idea of the special products and tours is also about helping people to understand farming.
People who really have a disconnect with farms today, to be able to educate them and help them know what a modern dairy farm is like.
Swanson says this has allowed their farm to remain relatively independent from major milk market forces. Their focus is to provide quality milk to their customers and offer some unique time on the farm.
So this year, we're also going to be doing classes on Thursdays, and we call it Moo University or Moo U. And we are doing that to try and open up farming even more to people.
That's been a recurring theme through conversations with different dairy farmers. These side businesses aren't just about bringing in more cash. They're also meant to connect people. I'm Tadeo Ruiz Sandoval, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media is a collaboration of public media newsrooms across the Midwest and Great Plains, including WPR. And finally, we'll end with a quick check of your forecast. It'll be sunny, windy, and cold today, with highs in the single digits and teens, and wind speeds up near 20 miles per hour at times. We could also see a few flurries in eastern Wisconsin to start the day. Overnight, partly cloudy and really cold, with low temperatures below zero, wind chills well below zero. But the wind speeds will start to calm down overnight. And that'll do it for this Tuesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.